Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A massive atmospheric river storm continues to soak California with historic amounts of rain.
The mudslides, devastating. Dozens of buildings damaged or destroyed. Cars left buried in thick mounds of muck. Entire homes washed away. Officials calling it one of the wettest storms since record-keeping began in the 1870s. President Biden called into a news conference with LA's mayor.
ABC's Andrea Fajii. After a weekend of airstrikes on Iran's proxies in the Middle East, more are likely. The Pentagon says the U.S. just won't be telegraphing that more strikes are coming. It'll be done at a time, place, and method of the U.S.'s choosing. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Cairo today, where he'll meet with Egyptian leaders. They'll concentrate mainly on the task of negotiating a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in exchange for the release of hostages held by Hamas. This is ABC News. 12 years in federal prison, the sentence for former medical biller Matthew James, convicted of chiseling hundreds of millions of dollars out of insurance companies through various scams. Prosecutors say James posed as an NBAer, Marcus Smart, and other patients to harangue the insurers for payments that weren't actually due. James was convicted almost 2 years ago on fraud and identity theft charges. He is now going away for a dozen years. It's that time of year again, Girl Scout cookie time. ABC's Sherry Preston says, bring your checkbook.
Thin Mints, Do-Si-Dos, peanut butter patties, Samoas, they're all there. They've even got some gluten-free and vegan options. Who knew Thin Mints were vegan? This year, inflation has hit the cookie business somewhat. Different Girl Scout councils are allowed to negotiate different prices with bakers, depending on where they are. And here on the East Coast, you might feel the pinch. Some boxes in New York are now selling for $7 a piece.
ABC's Sherry Preston. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin man convicted of pepper spraying police officers during the January 6th attack of the U.S. Capitol argues he should get a shorter sentence. Federal prosecutors say 41 months in prison is appropriate, but lawyers for Riley Casper of Pulaski says he's matured over these last 3 years. Casper is set to be sentenced on Tuesday. Democratic presidential primary voters in Wisconsin will have a choice after the state Supreme Court Friday ordered Dean Phillips' name to appear on the April ballot. Phillips says the justices made the right call for democracy.
It's so much less about my campaign and just so much more about how we Americans practice democracy and whether we should allow our two big parties to suppress it.
Phillips on WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin loses to Purdue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers losing 75-69 before a nationally televised audience. That's back-to-back losses now. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think the losing a game always gets your attention more, but I don't think there's anything that we have seen transpire in the last two games that we hadn't talked about before, and it's masqueraded by winning.
NBA, the Bucks came up short in Utah. Final score 123-108. Head coach Doc Rivers asked about Damian Lillard, who appeared to be playing despite an injury. injury.
We think he's okay, but he was struggling all game with the ankle.
The Bucks road trip continues tomorrow night in Phoenix. And the teams for Super Bowl 58 have arrived in Las Vegas, and already the trash talk is underway. 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa asked about the Chiefs right guard Trey Smith and right tackle Juwan Taylor.
Taylor and Smith leads the NFL, ton of penalties. Anything stand out when you watch them?
They hold a lot.
That's the 49ers Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll try to work some clearing in during the overnight as lows drop to the upper 20s and light south winds. That breeze, though, will pick up significantly on Tuesday. We'll see gusts up around 20, perhaps 25 miles per hour, a mix of clouds and sunshine in mid-40s. Right now, it's 22.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Kevin B. on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest in the studio with us. It's been months since you were here last. Quentin Klavan is a senior research director for the Institute for Reforming Government. Good morning, Quentin. Really nice to see you again. How are you doing?
No, I appreciate being here. You guys ask questions and talk about issues that are important, so it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, and we really do want to hear all sides of issues. It's like having discussions about things without yelling at each other.
In this economy? Come on.
I don't get paid if we don't start screaming at the end of this interview, so I will knock over this camera soon.
Fine, that's fine. Save it till the end, because gotcha. It'll be a nice quote.
WBA, watch out, baby.
There is a new proposal that would make it easier for teachers to start teaching. And essentially, it reduces the amount of classroom time for teachers, but then puts them in classrooms to actually teach. Is that kind of a good encapsulation?
You have it exactly right. So for anyone who's listening while working or driving, sometimes I come on here and I talk about education stuff, and you're like, what is this guy rambling about? This is real. This is something you all should be paying attention to. It was in Governor Evers' State of the State address.
Yes.
So it's called teacher apprenticeships. And it's basically what it sounds like. So if you're a plumber or an electrician or even nurses these days, IT,
or a barber. Boom. Yeah,
very much. You get on-the-job experience with a mentor. That's paid experience. And that helps people more than just kind of like book studying be incredible at their jobs. So what if we apply that to the teaching profession? And it's not my idea, although I love to claim it. It's done in 29 states around the country. It's a major proposal by President Biden. They started it with the Tennessee Republican governor, and that's where they kicked it off. And now it's over all of the Tennessee universities. So it's really exciting. As we know, there's a giant teacher shortage. Rural areas, we have principals covering classrooms. Urban areas, I live in Milwaukee. Milwaukee Public Schools, God bless these people for coming, but they're having people come from the Philippines, Mexico, Nigeria to teach in schools as opposed to recruiting people from our own backyard. So it's a major issue. So I can talk quickly about some of the problems of the current version, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So right now we send teachers to college for a four-year degree. That's very expensive. It cuts out lots of low-income people to begin with. Secondly, you have to pass a bunch of general education courses. What's keeping teachers back right now is you don't just have to be good if you want to be a kindergarten teacher. You don't just have to be great with kids and great at teaching phonics. You have to be able to pass French 3. You have to be able to pass calculus. While I understand why that's the case, is that really what's most important during the time of a teacher shortage? And third, lots of teachers don't get a lot of experience. They get one semester of student teaching, as it's called, at the end of their college experience. And one 4 months of teaching experience is not enough to really know what you're doing on the ground. And so they get into classrooms their first year of teaching, get rocked by the kids, just get stepped on. They don't know how to control their classrooms through no fault of their own. And they quit. 18% of teachers in Wisconsin quit. Like, not just like move districts. They quit before
the entire
they hit year
profession.
Three. Exactly.
I had a friend who went through the entire program after his first and only in-room teacher assistance. He's like, I'm never doing this.
Well, and that's one of the really good things I think about this program is that you go through you spend 3.5 years in the classroom studying to become a teacher, only to find out I don't like it.
Yeah.
Right?
Very
well
put.
I don't like it. And so this way it's going to at least half that, right? If you're going to get into the classroom sooner to find out if this is really your thing. This may not be your area of education, is to actually be in the classroom.
Look, I am a nerd. I like to think I'm smart, but you throw me in front of a classroom and ask kids to break down multiplication, I would melt.
Right. It's not for everybody.
No. 30 young minds staring at you, waiting on your every move.
And waiting for you to make a mistake.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Especially nowadays, these kids are smart. They're witty. How about that? They're witty.
Quick side note, just to keep people paying attention to the nerd stuff. I have a prominent Adam's apple. I was speaking to kids. I thought it was really like reaching them at the school I used to work at, St. Marcus Lutheran in Milwaukee, really hitting them in their hearts. Like, guys, you need to focus on the future and you can do this. And then they pause and they're just like, Mr. Q, why do you have like a really big Adam's apple?
Oh, my
and
God.
Now I'm just Adam's apple to those kids for life whenever they come and see me again, warmly. But yes, imagine if that was your first experience teaching.
Open their minds to curiosity.
The science.
The science.
Physiology.
Exactly.
Several doctors now just because of your Adam's apple.
You're all welcome, state of Wisconsin. So this proposal is essentially, we're not saying that practice in the classroom replaces those teaching courses. You still are going to get a bachelor's degree. You're still going to get all of your how to teach classes. You're still going to get what are you teaching classes, those subject matter classes. This proposal from the Republicans basically says you're going to do up to two years of student teaching. You're going to get paid for it. Teachers don't get paid for student teaching right now. They actually pay tuition to work for someone, which is insane. So you're going to do that, and that's going to give you general education credits that you can use to replace those gen ed classes. So that is kind of the risk and maybe possibly the controversial part. But we're saying, what is more important, that we have people who are really doubling down on the teaching skills rather than passing calculus if they're teaching third grade, or is it to make sure that we're having all of these extras that make college more expensive and make it harder to pass? Everybody knows that dropout rates for low-income students are much higher. Black, Hispanic, Indigenous dropout rates are higher. Male dropout rates are 8% higher than female dropout rates. So again, it's not lowering the standards of becoming a teacher. It's actually raising the standards to become a teacher, but just making it easier for kids to get through college.
And kind of speeding up the process little bit.
And I am not a teacher. I've never been a teacher, but I have been an apprentice. And I can tell you from my experience as an apprentice, it was really, really formidable for me to be able to I went to school once a week through MATC, which anyone knows me, I'm a huge tech school fan. But then I worked in a shop 5 days a week and got that on the job training while getting my practical skills or getting my theoretical skills in the room. I go to the job, and I think apprenticeships just goes with how I speak about tech school and that experience. I think apprenticeships are the way to go, and they serve such a great purpose.
Quentin Claiban is our guest. He's a senior research director for IRG, which is the Institute for Reforming Government. And we're talking about this proposed teacher apprentice bill, which actually, are they talking about it today in Madison?
Yes, they may be talking about it now. We had some hearings over the last couple of weeks, and that everybody, Republicans and Democrats, at least consider it so thoughtful that it's going to be on the floor today. And
wow.
I have to take a deep breath.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
They're going to get something done.
I get where you're going with that, Jane, but I will say this. And last year, there were great examples. When the Wisconsin legislature wants to bipartisan it up, they do it. They do it well. And I don't think they take enough laps for it either, in my opinion. And let's face it, there are politicians of all sorts who could use some loving right now. But man, when they do it well.
I'm curious, Quentin, again, because apparently Democrats and Republicans can agree on this, which is mind-boggling. Who is against it? There must be. I mean, what about teachers' organizations? What about the teachers' union? I'm curious.
This is very surprising until you think about it for a little bit. So it seems like everyone is generally for it. So we can get into the specifics of the bill. DPI had some concerns with it. This is the Department of Public Instruction, our education department. But they we can perhaps talk about in segment two. Governor Evers, again, put this in a State of the State address. There's a pilot that is going to be happening in autumn 2024. So the concept of a teacher apprenticeships, it's one. It's done. Yeah. It's happening. It's just a matter of how exactly we do it. So conservative groups like the American Enterprise Institute, this is like a right-leaning think tank. Excel and Ed, this is Jeb Bush's organization, are for it. But also, there is a 20-page document from the National Education Association Union and the American Federation for Teachers. We love this. Here's the ideal for what they are. The rural associations are really for it. Wisconsin's NREA is for it. And so it's just really phenomenal that all these people seem to be for it. So it's just a matter of what exactly it looks like, not the fact that we need more teachers and that we need teachers with more experience.
Well, and as you said, how big of a hole do we have right now for teachers? How many teachers are we short statewide?
Yeah, so it's unfortunately, there's not really documentation of that exactly. We have the turnover rates. There should be a new report out probably this week from DPI on that. But it's really, really bad. I mean, I can tell you, I should have added in, choice schools are really for this too. Voucher and charter schools are for this. They suffer just as much. I know there are prominent schools that lack principals, that lack, especially those specialized teachers, special needs teachers. My mom was a special needs teacher. STEM, science and math. Foreign language, like high school courses. Those are the professions that really lack teachers. And so everybody needs those and everybody's going after them.
Those special needs teachers, and again, I have great respect for all teachers because I couldn't do that. And I think what you do is, it's a gift. You are giving a gift. You are hopefully setting kids on a path to learn, which is going to change the entire course of their life.
Yeah.
But special needs teachers don't get any respect. And their kids don't get any respect.
Absolutely not. I think, I wish I had the numbers right offhand, but I think it's something like over half of our special needs kids are below grade level in reading and math. And you think, when people think special needs, there are students with severe special needs and perhaps they, you know, it will be difficult for them to hit some certain standards.
Yeah.
But like a child with dyslexia can learn to read. Yeah. A child with a specific learning disability can learn to read. And the fact that we've set such low standards for both our teaching profession and for our students is really tragic. And that's why Wisconsin's national test scores are mediocre. We're like right in the middle because I think we leave so much on the table. And so apprenticeships could get us there. A lot of students have these new teachers that are cycling in year after year. And I think that's all the reason kids suffer is because they're getting first year teachers. God bless them. But we all start somewhere. But they're not getting those experienced teachers. And so hopefully it's good for students, not just the employees.
They're also not making connections with those teachers because as soon as they're connected with them,
if they're gone,
then, you know, especially, I mean, the education is important, but that teacher student bond of like, I can trust you, you can trust me, I'm here for you, that's broken. And that's unfortunate. And that I'm blaming no one for that. I'm just saying that connection for a child can be changing
absolutely
in their life.
So, absolutely.
I worked in urban education. I'm from Wisconsin Rapids in rural Wisconsin. I can tell you, I mean, I still feel guilty this day after, and I still mentor. I'm probably going to visit there this week, but every time a teacher says, hey, I'm here for you, and then unfortunately leaves the next year because they have to pay off their student debt or they just don't feel confident in the classroom, that really hurts kids. Oh. So this will be really terrific.
We are going to keep this conversation going. If you want to leave a comment, 844-967-2789. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Update your floors with 11% off Great Lakes Vinyl Flooring at Menards. It's a perfect addition for any room in your home. Find a wide selection of waterproof and durable floors that are easy to install. Great Lakes Vinyl Floors also feature an attached pad for comfort and noise reduction. Heritage Vinyl Plank is only $329 per square foot after 11% rebate. Good through October 22nd. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We are joined in studio. He is from the Institute for Reforming Government. Quentin Claiborne is here, and we're talking about the new proposed teacher apprenticeship program, which is actually being discussed in a bipartisan fashion in Madison today. See, we can do this, people. We can actually talk to each other and accomplish things, which I think is a hopeful sign.
It is.
It's a hopeful
sign. By the way, next time you come back, can I get a nickname as good as Board Lord? I would really, if you could work that into the system, I would appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, now I'm going to think of it.
What rhymes with Claiborne? I don't know.
Doesn't have to rhyme. Give us a little time. We'll come up with something.
Quentin the Kid Claiborne.
Ooh, I like
the
it.
The Kid.
Hey. Oh, the Kid. Cue the Kid.
Cue the Kid. Cue the Kid.
There we go, right there.
Boom, love done.
It. Done. Okay, let's talk a little bit about teachers, and I do want to... They were so vilified under Scott Walker and the Scott Walker administration, and it still breaks my heart, some of the discussions I had back then about how lazy they are and how easy they have it. And
moochers was the...
And moochers, yes, and... Is that changing on both sides?
It could change more. I think in reflection of the last 20 years, I really want to compliment DPI. They've worked on this reading stuff that's really exciting, and now they're working on teacher apprenticeships. And I think that is such a refreshing change from the last 20 years. I think Democrats have realized in retrospect that maybe saying, oh, you know, test scores don't matter for kids was a bad message.
Sure.
They're not everything, but they certainly matter. And I think some segments of Republicans made teachers the enemy. And I don't think that was appropriate. My mom was a public school teacher her whole life.
Right.
And though I am conservative, I never really understood that teachers,
generally
teacher. Right. So that's why this is really exciting. And so it's cool to see, we talked about the Republican bill that's being discussed, but, Governor Evers and the Department of Workforce Development, because they do apprenticeships, and then the Department of Public Instruction have put their pilot out for what it's going to look like. So teacher apprenticeships are happening in autumn 2024. They are going through, you will go to one of the technical colleges in Wisconsin your first 2 years, save money, and get a quality education. Then you're going to transfer into a four-year university online. They're going to kind of do your supervision during your apprenticeship, and then you're going to work in your local district for that apprenticeship. So two-year college into finishing your last 2 years at the four-year college while you're doing your apprenticeship, which is really awesome and exciting. We didn't think that they would bring technical colleges into this concept, which is really wonderful. A couple of drawbacks, and this is where I think the debate will happen. So one issue is that there's a certain degree you get in technical college to basically, it's a pre-teaching degree. Only certain tech colleges have it right now. Unfortunately, Milwaukee and Madison are two that don't have it.
Wow.
So I think you could do it online, I think, through WCTC or one of these.
Yeah.
But in person is not going to be an option for our two biggest districts, which is frustrating, including southwestern Wisconsin and northwestern rural Wisconsin. So that rural and urban, I think that's maybe one issue we need to look at. And then secondly, there's only one current college approved to provide this program. It's called Lakeland University.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do a lot of hands-on learning, and they do a lot of online learning, which makes sense to plug them in. But why aren't the UWs involved? That really surprised me. And I think this is okay for me to advocate. I work for a C3, but it is okay for me to tell people, talk to your UWs. Why are you not participating in this program? Do they not think that we need teachers? Are they prioritizing the way they're doing business over the production that we really need to fill classrooms with high quality educators? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not throwing accusations around, but I think that would be a great question to ask the UWs.
I do have a question because with regard to the program, this process you're talking about right now, Quentin, it is you do 2 years in tech school, which, by the way, go tech schools.
Go tech schools. Dad worked for MSTC, Mid-State Technical College.
There you go. Awesome. And then you get 2 years and you are in an online program and you are working in the classroom. Are you being paid a decent wage to live and teach, or will...
A couple of the details are coming together. Yeah. And the good and bad news is they're starting at the freshman level. So everybody's going to be in technical college, but I think there will definitely be some conversations on funding that in the next budget. And obviously there are some available kind of end of year COVID funds that are still lying around there. But I think this is going to be a big topic of discussion in 2024 and 2025 to hammer out those last details.
Yeah.
And I think too, again, I think we have to bring back some respectful discussions about all of the things that our teachers do.
And can I throw this out there? We're thinking about generating teachers. One way to do that is, what about the mentor teachers? I think even as a conservative, I would love to hear this. And this is kind of something the unions have discussed. Let's give a little bonus or a little bit of compensation, perhaps, to the teachers who are mentoring. Mm-hmm. And so, freshen up. Hey, I've done teaching for 10 years. I need a little something. I'm good at it, but I need something interesting to happen. Yeah. I could always use a little bit more money. How about I take on some of these apprentices? And that is going to provide respect. Not only am I a teacher of kids, but I'm a teacher of the next generation of teachers. And I think that's one way to empower teachers and make it the high respect profession it deserves to be.
And it does deserve to be.
It does deserve to be, because it is, period. I mean,
yeah. And I think when you see these high quality teachers come out of here, I think a lot of people think teachers are babysitters, teachers are replacement level. And I think the higher quality they come out of these classrooms, the more prepared they are, the longer they stay in the classroom, I think the more respect they're going to earn from parents. It's unfortunate that they have to earn it, but I think they are going to earn it just from having, I guess, better development when they get into the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. And that's a whole other conversation we don't need to get into today, which is, you know, teachers are here to teach your kids. Trust the teachers to teach your children,
and to decide on curriculum.
Yeah, and if you don't, if there's something you don't like, have the respectful conversation, because you know you can say like, hey, I don't want my kid learning this, but we don't. We need to be respectful about it and respect the teachers and that process. So
we just have a couple of minutes left, Quentin. A completely unrelated question.
Yes.
My personal contention is, if you want to ban a book, you have to write a book report on it. It has to be 5 pages long. You don't get to just come in and say, I don't like The Kite Runner. You have to pull it from the shelf. I want a 5-page book report, and then we can talk about it. I don't think that is an unreasonable requirement.
I think I'm a big proponent of transparency. So I think there are programs. I believe Waukesha School District has this setup. Books that kids check out of the library, you get an automatic email or text sent to you to keep parents informed of what's going on. And I think that's definitely the first step that lots should take. Adversarial relationships make sense in courtrooms. They don't make sense for your child's education. So I hope that transparency is produced on both sides, and that people can cooperate and talk about like these issues with their kids developing.
Yeah, we've talked about that too. It's like if I have a child and they are at the Waukesha Library right here, and they get a book, I should be able to walk in and be like, can I have a report of what my kids are checking out? Cool. Thanks. And that's it. We don't need to create positions in the library and create more bureaucracy.
I will say that is sometimes very funny. I am someone who doesn't like bureaucracy in any form. And so, yes, when you're adding it, that does make a lot of sense.
Andrew from Maine has one suggestion. You should consider changing your name to the Institute for Making Government Work.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's rusted up. And so hopefully we can get things. This too, reading and teacher apprenticeships. We're two for two.
It's a good WD-40. There you are.
Quentin Claiborne has been our guest with the Institute for Reform and Government. Thank you so very much, Quentin. Really, really appreciate you
signing off.
Taking your time. Cue the kid. Stay close. We have news on the way next. And when we return, it will be Grammy update. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A massive atmospheric river storm continues to soak California with historic amounts of rain.
The mudslides, devastating. Dozens of buildings damaged or destroyed. Cars left buried in thick mounds of muck. Entire homes washed away. Officials calling it one of the wettest storms since record-keeping began in the 1870s. President Biden called into a news conference with L.A.'s mayor.
ABC's Andrea Fajii. After a weekend of airstrikes on Iran's proxies in the Middle East, more are likely. The Pentagon says the U.S. just won't be telegraphing that more strikes are coming. It'll be done at a time, place, and method of the U.S.'s choosing. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Cairo today, where he'll meet with Egyptian leaders. They'll concentrate mainly on the task of negotiating a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in exchange for the release of hostages held by Hamas. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gray wolves will stay under federal endangered species protections. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's going to focus on a national wolf strategy plan. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says that means the state's wolf management plan will stay the same. It bans wolf hunting until the population in Wisconsin is well over 1,000. February is Black History Month. Black leaders in Wisconsin say the fight for equality is as relevant as ever.
All these years later, in 2024, that we've got people who are trying to undermine efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion to lift people up who've had challenges trying to live out that simple American dream.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson on Civic Media's Earl Ingram Show. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll try to work some clearing in during the overnight as lows drop to the upper 20s and light south winds. That breeze, though, will pick up significantly on Tuesday. We'll see gusts up around 20, perhaps 25 miles per hour, a mix of clouds and sunshine in mid-40s. Right now, it's 22.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM Hayward.
The Todd Almaz Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Shout out to everybody listening in Hayward on WBZH, the Buzz of the North, and on WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center. We really, really appreciate you joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Quentin Claibon was our guest in the last half hour. He's from the Institute for Reform and Government. And we were talking about, good heavens, a bipartisan teacher apprenticeship program that is actually being discussed in Madison today. And just wanted to do a little housekeeping, Greg, and wrap up with a couple of texts that we got from the 262. Special education teachers are often overburdened, and because most districts won't hire more people, no amount of new teachers is going to help solve this. Districts like Waukesha hire special ed aides, but because it's not treated as a full-time job with no benefits, those aides leave left and right. Yes, we need more teachers, but the system in place isn't able to support strong workplaces for those going into education. And they certainly, special ed teachers are overburdened big time. Big time.
I can't even imagine. I mean, to me, if you're a special ed teacher, there should be so many of them because you should only have a small amount of students so you can really concentrate your time.
But yeah, and that's not what's happening.
That's not what they can do because there's too many kids.
And that leads to our next text, too, also from the 262. Great program. Your guest mentioned, I can't imagine 30 pairs of eyes looking at me. That is exactly the problem. Class sizes of 30 students. I was a teacher for 40 years. Class sizes have continued growing since Scott Walker all but eliminated collective bargaining. A lot of our teachers haven't quit teaching, but moved to teacher-friendly states like Minnesota.
Well, I mean, when he said 30 pairs of eyes, I almost thought to myself, that seems small. I remember when I was a kid, about 25, 30 kids in a class, and I went to private school in Waukesha.
See, when I went to a private grade school, we did not have 30 kids in the class. Not by a lot. If we had 15...
Do you want me to make a joke?
What? We had pens then.
Did you?
You think we were chiseling into tablets when I was in grade school?
Your words. So my point is I felt like 30 is like to me, like nowadays, I feel like you're like 40, 50 kids in a classroom.
Which is way too many.
Oh, that's way too many. 30. 50. I mean, is 30 too much? I mean, I'm really being honest.
I would half it.
Okay.
15 to 20.
All right. I mean, that's...
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not a teacher. I've never been a teacher. Jack from Merrimack, though, is on the line. He has been a teacher. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, there's a couple of issues here. The shortage of special ed teachers and... I'm not one of those over the years I've had, I've worked with a number of them. They tend to be excellent. They're well-trained and they're very, very much, people. They really care about the kids they're working with, but this shortage is just a general symptom of the main issue, which is the following. We have in this state a two-tier education system, and one of those two tiers is supported much more than the other, and that is the welfare given to private schools in the form of so-called vouchers.
Right.
The so-called choice program, yeah, that's exactly what it is. The school gets to choose, and they ain't going to help anybody that needs special ed. So they send those kids to public schools, and
which
have been defunded by sending money to private schools.
It really seems
we had
it, Jack. It just seems like this circular thing, right? It's like If we don't fund our public schools adequately, then we can complain about the test scores being bad, and that justifies our backing of the voucher system, which then just puts more money into these voucher schools and moves more money away from public schools to so they can keep saying, see how bad the results are in public schools?
Well, the fact is that if you just look at test scores, the private schools and they're not doing any better statistically than the public schools are. That's the first thing. They brag of a higher graduation rate, but when you can choose which students to have, you definitely can decide that you're going to have a higher graduation rate.
Sure.
And finally, there is a certain amount of grade inflation that goes on in those schools, too. When I taught in private schools, one of the things I was told was, well, your students, in one of the schools, there is told, your students, their grades have to be better because this is a college prep school. And I'm thinking, I've been teaching science for, at that point, about 15 or 17 years, something like that. And I really do have a pretty good idea what the kids need. The grades were actually pretty much reflective of the overall average student grades anyway, but they wanted them better in the sciences. And that tends to be a little more difficult situation.
Yeah, and Jack, I just want to ask you real quickly. We do have a couple other calls who are waiting. What is the maximum amount of students? What is a good number of students in the classroom, Jack?
Oh, boy. They've done some studies. I think West Virginia, one of the state's school systems, cut back their elementary classes, and I don't remember what the number was, but in terms of science, I would not want to teach classes larger than what I had, which was 24, and I think that's really pushing the edge, especially if you have in-lab science classes. My major area was chemistry, so
yeah,
if
you've got 24 Bunsen burners going, you want to be able to keep track of all those Bunsen burners, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much, Jack. Again, we have several other callers checking in here. Tim from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. My wife's been a special ed aide for going on 7 years, and she officially makes just over $19 for doing what she does. And a lot of the special ed aides, they should be a different pool of compensation versus just how, you know, the school gets X amount per pupil, because a lot of the special aid are one-on-one teachers. So they don't have a 20-to-1 or 25-to-1. They're directly one-on-one with some of the special needs kids.
That's really interesting, Tim. I did not know that.
Neither did I.
And yeah, they just don't get any respect. I don't think they don't get the respect. They don't get the help that they need. And certainly if you're a parent of a special needs child, I can't imagine the level of frustration that you have. Your wife is a saint, by the way, Tim.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Beverly checking in on the live stream. A lot of red flags on this education discussion. I heard general education courses being disparaged. That's dangerous. We need teachers who are educated, not trained. And that's what the general education courses offer at a liberal arts institution. Disturbing to hear they're using the tech schools instead of the 2-year UW liberal arts campuses to do the preparatory work for the teachers. And as to compensation for mentor teachers, that certainly should not be.
And that's where it cut off.
That's where it cut off. Thank you,
well,
Beverly.
So a couple of things about this. First of all, no one disparaged general ed classes. The point was that they're not as, you need to, they almost seem arbitrary. For me, when I went to college, I wanted to go for political science. I don't know why I needed Algebra 105. So I understand the discussion on as part of general ed classes. Also, I think the reason why, you know, there was also brought up, why are we not using the UW liberal arts schools and using tech schools? Well, it seemed, as Quentin said, UW system is not on board with this yet. So they have to go somewhere. And The technical schools are a good place to get real grounded learning. So I don't think there's like, I don't see this as dangerous as you are proposing, Beverly. I understand what you're saying. I respect it, but no one's saying general ed courses are bad. And if UW wants to be a part of it, then they need to be a part of it. But for right now, they don't have a plan to be. And if we're going to do this, technical schools are the places to go, because that is where real on the ground day-to-day training can happen as well.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens with this. Again, there this pilot program that is going to begin in fall.
Yes.
And so we'll see what happens from there. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been waiting. Good morning, Mark. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Yeah, my mom was a special ed aide back in the day, and she's been gone now for quite a while now. But she was a special ed teacher, and she just loved it. And the kids loved her back when she was doing that. And you just, and Scott Walker's name comes up again. And it's just the irony of Scott Walker, the damage that he had.
Inflicted.
Inflicted and is still inflicting on the state of Wisconsin because of all the people that came in with him and supported his ideology in the legislature. And the ironic thing that I found, you know, I was poking around one day, I found that President Trump, when he was in office, appointed Walker to the Board of Trustees of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in the Smithsonian Institution. Now, the irony of that is that Scott Walker never really was very scholarly except for, you know, taking courses in his head in political ambition and, you know, never managed to scratch out a degree at, you know, that when he was going to school. And that it's just amazing to me that a man of the contempt he shows for education, and he actually gets appointed to, supposedly, you know, that, and it's ironic, you know, Woodrow Wilson, for his faults, he actually was progressive in some ways and very regressive in others. But I mean that.
Well, you know what? You know what, though, Mark? I guess it makes sense when you consider who appointed Walker to that position.
Yeah, that's
that kind of says it all.
That says a lot of it.
That says it all right there.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for calling and for listening, Mark. Beverly, finishing up her comments on the live.
I think she's responding to me.
Again, at technical schools, you just said we're talking about training. I'm talking about an education, a broad general education, which gives people the ability to think broadly. That is definitely something we need our teachers to have. Thank you for your point of view, Beverly.
Yep.
I do appreciate it. I just want to see our teachers getting back some of the respect that they had when I was a kid.
I want to see them getting paid what they're worth, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If their jobs are so important, and they are,
yeah,
then they should be compensated fairly for it, and they shouldn't have to be bringing in their own school supplies, and they shouldn't have to be bringing in food.
Mm-mm.
So that kids can start learning with something in their bellies.
In other countries, teachers are spoken in the same voices as
doctors.
Lawyers and doctors and engineers.
Absolutely.
They're held in the highest regard. And
Let's get back to a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think this program is something that can be very, very advantageous.
Just,
talking to you, UW system.
Trying to talk to everybody. Just trying to get the dialogue going. All right. Well, we were going to talk about the Grammys.
The Grammys happened.
The Grammys did happen last night, so we will do that. Right before the news, Tracy Chapman was so wonderful.
Absolutely.
Tracy Chapman was incredible last night. She looks exactly the same, except she's great.
Yep, she looks beautiful.
She looked beautiful.
The song was wonderful. It gave me goosey bumps.
There were some other really great moments from last night's Grammy, so stay with us. Grammy talk when we return.
Grammy talk.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Got a fast car.
Is it fast enough so you can fly away?
We gotta make the decision.
Leave tonight or live and die this way. Zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Be myself.
myself, I got nothing to prove.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, Cool Kel B on the board.
Where's my nickname?
You don't. You're just
Kel kidding. Gets 38 pages of nicknames. We knock out Q the Kid in one sitting.
We'll have to open it up.
Which, by the way, can I just say that now this song makes me sad, Jane by Starship? Because I know it's the last segment of the show.
Oh.
Whenever I hear it now, it's like, oh, we're done. Now I have to wait 22 hours.
Until tomorrow.
Boo!
844-967-2789.
Party!
If you ever want to call or text, you can leave a comment on the live stream as well. On Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Quick Grammys recap from last night's Taylor Swift. Breaking a record, becoming the first artist ever to earn 4 Album of the Year prizes.
Because she wins or else.
Yes. It's Taylor's world, and we just all live in it.
Absolutely.
I think Trevor Noah did such a great job.
Oh.
On his, because he was the host last night.
Did you know?
Such a great job with her as he had already started his monologue, and Taylor and a couple other people were obviously coming in a little bit late.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I just say your name out loud, and she appears.
You know, he should host more of those because he genuinely looked like he was having a good time. This didn't look like some stand-up who was standing on stage, stuffy in a suit, he had jokes.
Oh, yeah.
But this man was partying. He was having a rocking good time. He was getting the audience. And that, I think, helped make it a more
fun,
laid-back
yeah.
ceremony, because these things can't be fun.
They're just long.
I mean, yeah.
They're really long.
I think the Grammys are amongst the shorter ones.
Which is hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. Ugh, no,
but
thank you.
As Taylor was walking through the crowd, he said, look, Trevor Noah said, look, she's changing economies just as she walks through the room. Look, Lionel Richie, now it's Lionel Wealthy. He was, you know, before Lionel was struggling. And she had an incredible year.
She did something that caused a little stir. A little stir. We have a clip of her. It's the latter half of her speech. I think it's interesting, but people had a problem with it, so.
But I know that the way that the Recording Academy voted is a direct reflection of the passion of the fans. So I want to say thank you to the fans by telling you a secret that I've been keeping from you for the last 2 years. Which is that my brand new album
what?
Comes out April 19th. It's called it's called The Tortured Poets Department. I'm gonna go and post the cover right now backstage. Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
Taylor Swift at last night's Grammy Awards, becoming the first artist ever to earn 4 Album of the Year prizes.
People pooped their Pampers over this part because they were like, oh, how dare she get on stage and just make it about a commercial for her album? Like, This is an awards ceremony that's nothing but a commercial for artists. This is a process in which agents, managers, record labels will bribe Gladhand and do whatever they can to get people to vote for their artists. This is a popularity contest, and that's fine. Her standing on stage and announcing an album drop, who cares?
Is the least surprising thing of the night.
If she would have been like, you know what, the Palestinians deserved it, then they'd be like, oh my God, what happened? But no, she's making a commercial for her commercial lifestyle. So good on you, Tay-Tay. Can't wait to see you next Sunday.
Other big moments from the Grammys last night?
My boy Killer Mike won all three of his Grammys, swept the Grammys. He wasn't there because it was a different awards ceremony. They didn't televise Best Rap Album, Best Rap Performance, or Best Rap Song. But he got all three.
Okay.
And then got arrested.
Oh, well. He'll write a song about that, I'm sure.
Darn right he will. I'm repping it right now. I'm wearing Swag Shop gear right there. Boom, that's his barbershop in Atlanta. But the other big thing was Mr. Sean Carter, a.k.a. Hova, a.k.a.
Mr. Beyonce?
All right, whatever. That's Mr. Knowles to you.
Sorry.
Jay-Z won a Lifetime Achievement Award, the Dr. Dre Global Impact, which sounds like it's more climate change.
Some kind of philanthropic something.
All I know is the Grammy is black and it's cool. And Jay-Z drank from it.
But he was not happy.
Well, you know, he was happy. He was happy. He just had some words of advice for the voting Grammy public. So if we can play that clip, please.
Some things, you know, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year.
He's speaking about
so
Beyonce.
So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Think about that. The most Grammys, never won Album of the Year. That doesn't work. You know, some of you going to go home tonight and feel like you've been robbed. Some of you may get robbed. Some of you don't belong in the category.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Right. Whoa. No, that was it. No, when I get nervous, I tell the truth. But outside of that, you know, we got to keep showing up. And forget the Grammys for a second. Just
right,
in life.
Yeah. I mean.
She has.
I think she's won 46 Grammys.
Yeah, it's incredible. Beyonce's.
And she's never won Album of the Year.
That is really hard to believe.
Yeah, it's.
And it's not like it's artists that are voting on this, right? Who? What's the Grammy board?
It's
an industry.
It's industry. You belong to the Grammy organization.
You can vote.
You can vote. So it's a wide swath of people. It's not just like 10 people who are deciding this. It's people who belong to the Grammy Association. They get to vote on these things. So it's many, many people. Between Destiny's Child, which for the youngsters out there under the age of 15, Beyonce was in a group called Destiny's Child.
She
has 32 Grammys, but never has won Album of the Year, which to me is insanity because I love Beck, but Lemonade is an absolute classic. It's a masterpiece, in my opinion. It's a beautiful story.
Well, if this continues, then they're just going to have to give her her own award.
They'll just
give her the Beyonce.
The Bays.
The Bay. It'll be the Bay.
Yeah, so.
I like that. All right. Thank you so very, very much for joining us today. Thank you for listening and calling and texting. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is next. Coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.